This morning, I went into my sitting room and I asked my Alexa a question. You know what Alexa is? It's this thing from Amazon. You can ask questions, get radio stations. So I said to Alexa, Alexa, how far is the city of Bethlehem from the city of Jerusalem? And she told me. Anybody have an idea how far they are apart? Any guesses? I know you all know it. Come on. Right? You know it, right?
Yeah.
Well, would you think about like maybe 50 miles? 25 miles?
26 miles.
26 miles. No, you're going the wrong way, Teresa. It's only 4 miles. 4 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. 4 miles. Now, I know from asking Alexa that she's in her 70s because she answered it this way. The distance from Jerusalem to Bethlehem is 4 miles as the crow flies. Who uses that expression anymore? So I know Alexa's in her 70s, maybe 80s. So don't think it's a young woman there. No, she's old. But 4 miles, 4 miles. You could walk that in, depending on how fast you walk or run it, you know, in a short period of time. But I think here we're thinking that it was maybe at least a day's journey away. And so when Herod and the chief priests and the scribes said, well, you go ahead and then come back, let us know. You know, we're thinking, yeah, because it was kind of a long journey. And we'll let somebody else do it. But it was only 4 miles. So my question is it really wasn't my question. Somebody else was asking, why didn't Herod, right then and there, get people together, chief priests and scribes, and go with the Magi to Bethlehem? That's a good question. I mean, why wait to hear back from these three strangers what was going on? So we have Herod, and incidentally, Herod was Herod the Great, the ruler of Judea. He was a Jew by conversion, not by birth. And then we have the chief priests. Those were the major priests who made sure everything went well in the temple. And then we have the scribes. Now, the word scribe we think of as someone who writes things, who took notes. Well, by the time of Jesus, the scribes were actually very learned men in the law. So they were very high-ranking men. So we had all these so-called intelligent people, and they tell these three strangers, well, you go and find out the facts and then come back. But again, the question is, why didn't they go with them to find out? And then right away you could get rid of the baby. But they didn't. Now, let me give you a parallel case. What if I said to you that at Blessed Sacrament between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock, they're going to give out $100 bills? Now, would you say to someone, well, why don't you go? Get it? And then you come back and let us know about it. Would we do that? No, because there's something tangible there. And why be a fool? Why wait? Do it. And yet that's the story we have in the scriptures. Now, we don't know all the reasons for it. Maybe they said, well, it's probably fake or false information. So, you know, we'll let these three pagans go ahead and find out, and then they'll do the dirty work and come back to us. And maybe they were thinking they'd be back within a day or two because it's only 4 miles. Well, of course, in a dream they were told, don't go back to Herod. Don't go back to Herod, but go back to your country. And so they did. So here we have this wonderful story of three, well, it doesn't say three in scriptures, it just says wise men. We don't know how many, but we do have three. What happened to them? Oh, they're all up there now. Whoa, boy, I didn't have a drink this morning either. So, yeah, did you move them on me?
No, I had it,
Jack. Oh, okay, all right. I won't go there. Did he have a drink this morning? Okay, so we have the wise men. And incidentally, a child was asked, what were the names of the three wise men? And the kid goes, snap, crackle, and pop. But we had the three wise men. They were coming from a long distance away. We don't know exactly who they were. They were maybe sort of magi, magicians, wise men from a cult or religious group, maybe in Iran or Iraq somewhere. But they were pagan. But they saw this star. They did their research. They did their prayer. And they said, we're going to follow this star. There's something going on here. So they traveled hundreds of miles, not just 4 miles, but hundreds of miles to pursue the truth, to find out what is that star pointing to. They had faith even before they came to have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They had faith. Pagans. And yet we have these so-called religious people in Jerusalem who didn't bother to go down to Bethlehem right away and find out what was going on. So we keep going layer by layer in these stories, and this is throughout the scriptures. We take it for granted that things happen the way they are and we know them well, but the more we think about them, that doesn't make sense. So here again, we have three pagans who go on this incredible journey, leaving family and friends, not knowing what's going to happen on the way, whether their caravan is going to be destroyed by marauders and pirates or whatever. But they had faith. They believed there was something important happening. How does that apply to us? Are we like these three magi who are willing to live very uncomfortable lives for as long as it takes to get to the treasure? In other words, are we going to put everything forward for our faith to find it? Or are we going to be like these particular religious people who should have known better, who didn't lift a hand, a finger, a foot, in order to go down to Bethlehem to find out the truth of what was going on? Because they were told, the people were said, the prophecy said the Savior's going to come from Bethlehem. So again, why didn't they act? Why didn't Herod? Are we like that? We know the truth, but do we act on it? Or are we still not knowing the truth? Of course, we can't say that. But do people who don't know the truth but have that hunger for the truth do a better job of living and pursuing their faith than we do who have the faith, who say we are Christians? So we're challenged by that. And again in Scripture, we're challenged by that. Jesus doesn't go to the rich and the powerful. He goes to the poor. He goes to those who are outcasts. And then the apostles went out, and Paul in particular went to the pagans, to the Gentiles, not to the Jewish people, although he included them. But do we have that same type of courage in our faith? Do we have that same type of vitality, that desire, deep down desire, to pursue the faith no matter where it's going to take us, no matter how uncomfortable the way is, no matter what we have to give up? Are we like the Magi? Or, again, are we like those who are very self-satisfied, arrogant, proud? We know the truth. We don't have to worry about it. And so we lose out on finding the pearl of great treasure or the treasure that we truly want in our lives. Do we lose out on it because we're too self-satisfied or we think we know it all? But we have these feasts to remind us that there's always more to understand, to grow in our faith. We need to get up and go out and pursue it. And for us as Christians today, the way we pursue it is by going out into the world and talking about the faith, talking about the story of salvation to other people. That's our commission. So Herod should have been doing that. The scribes should have been doing that. The high priest should have been doing that, but they didn't. What we're supposed to do is do the same thing, to act on our faith and to go forth and proclaim it to others so that they too will get this hunger, which is already implanted in them by God, but they'll get that hunger and they'll say, yeah, I want to find out more. Well, that means you got to do this. You got to. That's fine. I'll do it because I want to be nourished by the faith, by the good word, by the truth of the gospel. So we have a lot to do. If we have become a little bit self-satisfied and complacent in our faith, like Herod, the scribes, and the high priest, we have a new year to, every day is a new day, to reconfigure our lives, reorient our lives so that we're not just sitting around thinking about our faith, doing things which are comfortable, but getting out there, getting out into the world and bringing that faith to other people, being brave and courageous, willing to go wherever, no matter how uncomfortable it is, so that we can not only pursue that treasure for ourselves, but bring that treasure to other people. So the Magi, again, even though they were pagans who became believers, they're wonderful models of what the Christian disciple is supposed to be doing. Constantly traveling, finding the treasure again and again, and then giving that treasure to other people. Not keeping it to themselves or ourselves, but giving that treasure to other people. So, I don't care if you call yourself Snap, Crackle, or Pop, or Balthazar, Melchior, whatever, doesn't matter. We are the people called by God to go forth, to journey forth, and bring the gospel to other people, and to keep learning more about that gospel so that we can be faithful disciples, always, always on a journey, but knowing that what is at the end of the journey is the fulfillment of all our hopes and desires. That's what we want for ourselves, and hopefully that's what we want for others, so that we always do go forth to proclaim the good news of salvation. Thank you.